Gateway Buick GMC is having a sweetheart sale on all courtesy transportation and loaner vehicles. Brand new vehicles at pre-owned prices. Right now, take home brand new Buicks and GMCs for over $14,000 off MSRP price. But act fast. These sweet savings means vehicles are moving fast. Book a test drive by calling 888-865-9419 or online at stlouisbuickgmc.com. Gateway, the right way.
Rise and shine, St. Louis. It's the Ryan Kelly Morning After with Tim McKernan, Jimmy the Cat Hayes, and Doug Vaughn. It's time to start your day off right. Now, here's Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on the all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
7:04 in St. Louis. You're listening to the Ryan Kelly Morning After on 590 The Fan KFNS. We're in the Gateway Buick GMC Studios. Tim McKernan, Jimmy the Cat Hayes, Doug Vaughn with you on the radio program. The 7 o'clock hour is brought to you by the BP credit card. Earn rewards and redeem at the pump. The BP credit card, the sponsor of the 7 o'clock hour on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Doug, I think it's really the hour where we sing.
This first one?
No.
What are we going to sing today?
Tommy Smith's going to be with us, actually, at 7:30. Soccer analyst and host of SiriusXM FC Radio. Tommy departed ESPN last week after 25 years with the organization.
Why? Where's he going?
I don't know. Well, when somebody has an announcement to make, where do they go?
Here.
Show a record.
Thank you.
Maybe he's retiring, because he's been around a long time. Isn't
he? Boy, he's got a great personality.
Mm-hmm. He'll be with us at 7:30.
No, he spells it Smythe.
Do you have a problem? Hold him accountable for it.
Well, I kind of like that. It's kind of flashy.
Well, why don't you I'm one quarter Smith, spelled S-M-I-T-H. Do you have a problem with that?
No, that's the standard spelling. S-M-Y-T-H is just kind of sassy is all.
Why don't you change your first name and throw some umlauts on there or something and set yourself apart from the run-of-the-mill guy?
I got a U. I could put a umlaut over the U. I think I might start doing that, in fact.
That'd be fun.
Except it's not German.
Doesn't matter. You just want to let people know that you're not the run-of-the-mill sportscaster. You're Vaughn.
Okay, Tim, Jim, and Doug, thank you very much.
There he is.
Doug, that's at 7:30. At 8:30, Kelly Chase, brought to you by Petromart, as he is every week. We'll have him on Wednesday this week, and he's going to be part of Heritage Night, an evening with Bobby Plager tonight at Patio's. So we'll promote that. Doors opening at Scott Trade Center at 5:30 tomorrow. And then Bobby's number retirement ceremony will commence at 6:30 p.m. Kelly Chase, brought to you by Petromart, 8:30. And we'll talk about the Blues defeating the Jets last night. Doug, 5-0 was the final.
No, they got whooped. They got whooped.
Wait.
I guess you read the wrong website or something.
Well, they did get a spirit win.
Facts.
They did get a
spirit. The spirit win was 5-0.
Yeah. Well, I don't know how much spirit victory you could take from that.
Wait.
They lost 5-3, actually, fellas.
Not according to the spirit.
Okay.
Spiritwins.com.
Right. Just acquired that domain.
They give up about 5 goals every night, don't
they? They've lost 4 straight at home. At home.
Yeah, they really look like they're baffled on defense.
That is true.
They give up so many good scoring chances.
You can talk about the goaltending. But, I mean, the Jets had odd man rush after odd man rush last night and bad defensive turnovers.
And the Blues could have scored 5 or 6 themselves if Pavlik hadn't been so good in the net. They had some great chances of their own.
And now they're clinging to that last wild card spot.
Yeah, hanging on by their
point ahead of Laissez-Jet now.
Yeah.
Jets are a good team. At least they look good when they play the Blues.
Okay.
Don't they?
Well, they look good last night.
Yeah. A lot of young stars.
Patrick Laine is a heck of a player. Yeah. Who would you compare at the station to Patrick Laine?
Oh, crap.
I'm with Tim.
I don't know. I'd say Plowsy. Young superstar.
Look, we get it. You just found out how to pronounce Laine, so now you're going to trot it out there. We get it.
Well, I like this fellow Laine. He's a good young player.
Doug, here's Ken Hitchcock saying that there's a lot of positives.
All right, Hitch, hit the lever, Plowsy, or Laine.
No, we had some people who played really well tonight. We made mistakes, and we're paying for them right now. But we've got to minimize our mistakes, and we've got to get more players playing to the level that some of the guys played today at. There was some really good performances by some people today, and then we just have to get more people doing it. Berge's line was good, Laterra's line. Schwartz was excellent. Tarasenko played very hard. There was a lot of good stuff there.
There was a lot of good stuff, just not enough, though.
Yeah, not quite enough. It's hard stopping Patrick Laine.
We get it.
Yeah. I mean, the Blues have got some good young players themselves. I like this Tarasenko fellow, but this Laine, he's one of the real up-and-coming superstars.
Where'd he grow up?
I mean, at least in Finland or something. Scandinavian.
I don't think Blues fans want to hear about a lot of positives after that last night and the way things are.
That's true. But if you're Ken Hitchcock and you've already kind of laid down the law a few times with your post-game comments, you're running out of options on how to couch it. Best you can do is hope for the best. But if you're the Blues and you got to press some buttons now, if you're trying to shake it up so you can just hang in and get a playoff spot, there's not a lot of buttons left to push. That's why I don't think it's the right thing. I'm a Hitch guy, but as I've said before, if you trade Shattenkirk, you're not getting like a better player for him. You're going to get something that'll help you down the road. So what buttons are there to push to improve now? And I just wonder if there's going to be a shakeup with the coaches. I'm not saying it's the right thing, but you have limited amounts of options for trying to change it with a press of a button. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't think it's right.
I don't want them to do that. I hope they don't do that.
But you see how that would be tempting.
Sure. Oh, if you go back a few years, the Blues would have fired a couple coaches by now and made three or four trades. But obviously times are different now. It's very hard for them to make a deal. It's got to be dollar for dollar with the salary cap hurdles that they face nowadays. But you would expect them to do something to try to shake it up. I don't know what it is. Maybe a more of a minor trade, just something. I don't know that you can continue on the path that they're going right now.
And in years past, there's always been that one guy that's been hurt that they're hoping to get back that could be the guy to shake it up. You know, his return, they don't really have that now.
Ron Curran would have traded half the team at this point.
There is some meat on the burner.
The professor.
Mm-hmm.
Here is Alex Petrangelo describing the performance of Jake Allen.
Oh, right at the lever line, eh?
He played well throughout the game. I mean, we didn't have much support in the ones that did go in. I mean, fourth one's off me and empty netter on the 2-on-1 in the first one. So we need him to come back and have a strong effort. Came back with a clear mind. I thought he played real well, and we're going to need more of that moving forward.
Yeah, that is true. They were tough saves. The ones that got in, one hit a stick, and one of them that the Ehlers shot couldn't have been a more perfect shot. Top corner where the toothless Hoosiers roost.
They roost up there?
Yeah.
But he did face, I mean, the Jets are a team with a ton of speed, and they showed it, and they got a number of breakaway, on-man rush, you know, two-on-ones, four-on-twos. It wasn't a great defensive performance.
Well, before you jump completely on the Jets bandwagon, let me just remind you that the Blues have three games in hand.
Nice. Not jumping on the Jets bandwagon. I'm saying that they have talent. I forget that young player's name. He's really good.
Laine.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Guys, trade Shat, fire Hitch, and burn it down. That's from the Como Cuddler.
Okay,
Doug.
Como.
Well, right now,
it's a dumpster fire. That's from the freshly squeezed lemon.
Except for the fact that they're right now in the playoffs. Let's not lose. They played so well early. They put themselves in position to be in the playoffs if it ended right now. So I don't think it's a question of burning it down. It up is fine.
Right now they would be tied with Calgary for the last playoff spot. And they have two games in hand.
Doug needs to go up to that mall that's not a mall in North County. I think that's a reference to the Mills.
The Mills, probably, yeah.
And get some TCBY and hold them Blues accountable.
I could get some Wetzel's Pretzels. That's still open right across from the rink. I don't know if TCBY is still open. There's not
Man,
many
when
stores.
When you talk about burnt-out malls, St. Louis is surging.
Yeah. They've got Crestwood Plaza about ripped down now, but halfway anyway.
But the Mills is still allegedly an open for business operation.
Cabela's is open.
Maybe we should move the station there instead of Kirkwood.
You probably get a really good deal on that.
Right, but last time I was there, it was like every third store, there was no one occupied.
It's less than that now. I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think it was recently sold for like $11 million. You know, built for a couple $100 million or so and then resold for $11 million. There's just nobody there. It's not close to the population center.
But for a while it was hot and doing very well, I understand. So what changed? Right? There was
the Mills was very hot. I don't recall that.
There were some times when it was crowded.
There were some times that I had been there.
When it first opened, it was packed.
And when I used to go there for blues practice, even in early morning, or late morning, I should say, there was a ton of people in there. And then we went there for something for Tyler in the afternoon, late afternoon, and it was packed then. But that was years ago, so something changed.
Hey, Doug, do you smell that? It's Harry's post-shave balm, and it's sensual. Thanks. That comes from Doug's, quote, weekend cameraman.
Hold on.
Chuck? Was that Chuck?
Who's that?
It's Doug's weekend cameraman. I don't know him.
He's not working today.
Doug, there will be tripping down Market Street in June with Lord Stanley. We finish Ship It. That's from the Brentwood Forest Cabana Boys.
I like that.
Well, that's nice positive thinking. I don't know that I've seen a Blues team over the last, once they finally turned it around and got it going, that had less of a chance to win the Stanley Cup than this one.
Well,
shout at the 2007 team.
They're trending in a downward direction, unfortunately.
Yeah,
but they do have talent. I'm not saying they have enough to win it all. It would be nice to think
about
that.
Yeah,
but certainly play better than they are now.
If the Blues do start going down a bit of a wormhole, then that's fine. We'll turn our attention to college basketball.
Well, now there we got a chance that Missouri, SLU, and Illinois all finished last in their conference.
Oh, you don't watch the games?
Well, I do.
Do you really?
I have to.
It's going to be the Rigatoni Classic.
Mizzou is winless in the Big 12. I think SLU has.
Well, that's because they don't
wins.
Play in the conference, but they also are winless in the SEC.
Well, Jimmy Cruz, don't let me down, Jimmy. I've got you beating Louisville.
I watched SLU UMass that was carried by Fox Sports Midwest.
What in the hell? Did somebody tie you to a chair?
No, because.
Thank you, Plowhawk.
Because Tyler's playing basketball, so I'm trying to expose him to other.
Wasn't there an ACC game on somewhere?
Well, it was SLU, so I thought that would be the hook. And SLU was up big early. I mean, they were up by 18.
Yeah.
And then slowly but surely.
Couldn't hang on. At least you can see that that's going to change based on the recruiting that they've done. That's heading in the right direction. It's hard to get too down on them because first-year coach, and he signed some of the premier talent in the area.
And I agree. And Kim Anderson, now that he's got his sea legs under him. It took a little while.
I don't know that that's going to work out.
What?
I'm not an expert, but it just doesn't feel like it's working out.
We got Gary Finkel waiting, and I want to talk some Mizzou.
Brent Musburger called his final game on ESPN last night, and actually that was a game. You made reference to the surprising lead SLU had on UMass, which I knew nothing about until just now. And Georgia went into Rupp Arena and had a 12-0 lead on Kentucky, and actually went to overtime with the Wildcats before losing. And it was Brent Musburger's final game. The Plow Leaf has the wonderful audio.
Hit the lever, line A.
What a road we've traveled together. Thanks so much to you for sharing your time with me. What great memories we've had over the last almost 50 years. But now it's time for me to turn over the play-by-play duties to those fine young announcers who are growing up at ESPN. Make no mistake about it. I'm going to miss games like this. I'm going to miss working with all the great analysts that I've been with through the years. But maybe you'll pay me a visit out of my new place in Las Vegas. Why not? We can share a cold one and maybe a win or two. Anyway, thank you so very much for all the appreciation and all the great moments that we've experienced together. God bless.
Brent Musburger signing off for the final time. Doug, you are looking live.
And he's done with football, too?
Yeah, the whole deal. Oh, and he's opening up a sports book at, I think, South Point in Vegas.
That's what it sounded like.
No, he is. Yeah, that's what he's doing.
He's opening up a sports book?
Yeah.
I thought that was a joke.
I will really miss him. I've enjoyed him over the years. I know he's had his critics. I don't necessarily understand why.
Well, I've enjoyed him quite a bit. Yeah. I feel bad when I see him like calling Missouri football games. I'm like, eh.
Yeah, he's still
guy.
Good. He's
no,
still
I'm not
terrific.
Saying he, no, I'm feeling bad for him that he's calling like
that. Those
that
are the assignments,
crap.
Yeah.
Right.
Because he kind of had that big game feel.
He was up until two years ago, and then they had Fowler and Herbstreit go on his.
And that's who I think he's much better than Chris Fowler. Fowler is technically fine, but when he did that national championship game, there wasn't a whole lot of energy there, I didn't think. I would have much rather seen Brent Musburger do that game.
Well, I mean, there's other guys you can feel sorry for. He's made a boatload of money, and he's opening up a book. So
I don't feel sorry for him.
It's a good ending for that guy.
I don't feel sorry for him. He's made millions. I'm saying I'm just going to miss him.
The Bills beat UMass.
All right, my bad.
You like to issue?
I didn't stay for the end. I just saw it getting...
You're talking about the George Washington game, I think, where they took the lead and then couldn't hold it. It's tough to, stave off the Colonials.
It speaks volumes that he flat out said a team lost a game and there was one text in the wilderness correcting it.
Well,
everybody else was just like, I guess that,
to
I
be
guess
honest,
right.
To be honest, I didn't stay for the end of the game, but UMass did get it close, so I just made an assumption.
Oh, you just assumed that the other team would come roaring back.
No, they
and
did
beat
come,
the home club.
They did roar back, and then it was close, and then we went to bed, and I didn't get the score. But I agree. I am a SLU fan. I know this is a bad year for them, but they do have great recruits, and I always take my kid to Chaffetz a couple of times because it's a great arena. I'm not trying to besmirch SLU. I'm just saying this year you kind of expect bad things.
Doug Tommy Smith is going to join us coming up at 7:30, the voice synonymous with the game of soccer. He will be with us in about 10 minutes. We'll get his perspective on a potpourri of things, including leaving ESPN after 25 years. When people want to sound off, they do so on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Antonio French on the program for about 40 minutes yesterday. I enjoyed the interview. I guess Lyda Crewson, who I think at this point is the front runner to be the next mayor of St. Louis, is going to be on. At least I understand. I think Seamaster is communicating with her. So, Doug, when the heavy hitters, the newsmakers, want to have their side of the story presented,
mm-hmm.
they come on this radio station.
Right.
And this radio show.
I expect Musburger to call in.
Wouldn't surprise me.
That would be nice.
Wouldn't surprise me. And Kelly Chase with us coming up at 8:30 as we talk about the fun and games last night at the Scott Trade Center. The 7 o'clock hour brought to you by the BP credit card. Earn rewards and redeem at the pump. And Super Bowl conversation on the show this week, sponsored by Bud Light. You're welcome to get involved anytime you would like. The appliances counter phone lines. 855-CUB-TALK, 855-282-8255. I like when the listeners call in and have a question, and it allows us to ponder the question and give them as sound of an answer as we possibly can. Maybe it's advice. Maybe it's our perspective on the offensive line of the Falcons against that top-rated defense, the New England Patriots. Something people might be overlooking because New England, of course, known for Tom Brady and all he's done since 2001. But it's the defense of the Patriots that has allowed the lowest points per game since that undefeated team that went into the Super Bowl in 2007 season and lost to the New York Giants. And, Doug, that's something people might be overlooking.
Right.
I think you might be one of those people.
No, Doug is a guy, you know, the Super Bowl, especially in this league,
right?
The Super Bowl, the big game, is about the trenches.
Wait.
A lot of it will get down to the trenches. I'm going to go out and place perhaps a large little taste of something at Brent Musburger's new sports book.
Wow. I thought you hadn't been to Las Vegas since the Larry Holmes fight in 81.
I haven't. But if Brent Musburger sets up shop out there, maybe I'll visit.
The appliance discounter is where our savings are your savings. Coming soon to Concord Plaza on South Lindbergh. It's the appliance discounters. No calling 800 numbers if you ever need service. Support the sponsors, theappliancediscounters.com. So many times people have either called in, texted in, or emailed me and said they actually decided to do business just because they were a sponsor, which is what we want, and which is what so many of our listeners do, and then they wound up saving an absurd amount of money with the appliance discounter. So make sure you're doing business with the appliance discounters. And Doug, 2 weeks from Friday. I mean, I feel like it's sneaking up on us.
Yeah, why do you say that?
It's the battle on Broadway.
Oh, okay.
Timberfake versus the home loan expert Ryan Kelly at the historic South Broadway Athletic Club. It's Friday, February 17th. Doors open at 7 with undercard amateur matches starting at 8. Tickets are currently sold out, but more may become available. Hear the action live on 590 The Fan and InsideSTL.com as Iggy and Larry Nickel call the main event.
Can't wait.
At approximately 10 p.m. Doug, the ticket revenue after our expenses will be donated to our charity partners, Friends of Kids with Cancer, Catherine Cares, and Three Little Birds for Life. The Battle on Broadway is presented by Bud Select, Auto House BMW, All-Star Trophy, Night Shift Bar and Grill, and DB's offering a free shuttle and home of the post-match party. And oh my, oh my.
When there aren't enough words to sufficiently sum up just how big an event it is, you say things like, oh my.
Dick Enberg.
Dick Enberg did it as well. There's another guy that I miss, Dick Enberg. I miss Jack Buck and Dick Enberg, and I already miss Brent Musburger, and I miss Keith Jackson. I miss all those guys.
I thought it was cool that I've got like 3 minutes left of the Joe Buck Howard Stern interview. And it was like an hour and 15 minutes. And I thought it was great that Joe got to talk about Jack Buck for that audience. And I bet that was probably, I mean, outside of being on that show, which I know Joe said was like a bucket list experience for him. He said he was more nervous about being on the Stern show than calling the Super Bowl. But that so many people, including Howard Stern and Robin Quivers, got a chance to hear some Jack Buck stories. Very good interview, and a number of people have been talking about it. For those of you who would want to hear it, if you're a SiriusXM radio client, you can listen to it on the SiriusXM app. That's my recommendation. That's how I listen to it. Fun facts for no one tell.
All right.
It's a very good interview.
Okay.
Howard is a great interviewer, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I look forward to listening to on the show now, the interviews.
I miss Jackie the Joke Man.
I miss Artie.
I'm just kidding.
Oh, you weren't a Joke Man guy?
I was an Artie fan, yeah, more so.
Absolutely.
Well, who's on there now if they've lost those guys?
Yeah, it's really just Howard and Robin, and then they bring in, I guess,
isn't
like
Fred
Ronnie the Limo Driver is a lot more active these days.
The Cam Jansen calls me. He says I look like Ronnie the Limo Driver.
There is a slight similarity, I have to say.
How about Baba Booey? Is he still on there?
Yeah, but he doesn't go. He's not on the air as much.
Why not? He was a big part of it.
I don't know. I know he was, as opposed to like the Seamaster, who does not want to be on the air.
No.
Baba Booey was on the air.
Yeah.
But now he's not as often.
I mean, just think about how funny that is. He's the producer of the show, and his name is Baba Booey. And then it'd be morphed into Fafa Fooey.
That's right. Doug, I missed the King of All Blacks. Thanks. It's from the King of All Filipinos.
Who was that?
One of the callers.
Yeah,
did he pass? Doug, did he pass?
I don't know who it is.
We're now running down the best components of a show that's opposite ours. Right now, it's...
What does it matter?
Does Bovado have the prop bets?
The prop bets?
For the Super Bowl.
Oh, prop bets.
Yes.
Do they?
I think it was a dance
do they
team
have the
called
Joe
prop bets.
Do they have the Joe Buck ones? Because we can make some money there. Joe said he's going to have a beard. Joe can tell us what tie he's going to wear.
Yeah, he did talk about that, how there's all these prop bets regarding the announcing of the Super Bowl game and Joe and what Aikman will say.
But they're just novelty bets.
But I believe, like Joe was saying, I mean, I know what I'm going to do, and I could take down Las Vegas. But I believe, because I've bet on one of them before, I believe that there's like a cap of $50, so you can't.
Yeah, because they consider it a novelty wager. Right. You're not going to be able to bet.
We can make a quick 50 on a few of these.
Yeah, yeah. Doug, why don't we just do that?
Okay.
Want to do that? Right now, heads is minus 105 and tails is minus 105 for the coin toss.
Oh, brother.
Do people really want to bet that?
And if Rob Ninkovich is the Super Bowl MVP and you bet $100 on that, you will win $20,000.
I would think, yeah. What chance does he have? He'd have to intercept two passes and return them both. What I would call, you guys may not understand this, I would call that a pick six.
I don't understand it at all.
I would wager and give odds that Joe Buck will say at some point, free dotum during the Super Bowl.
I noticed he had a press conference yesterday in Houston, and the wonderful Joe Roderick, who is down there covering the Super Bowl, slid a free dotum bumper sticker right in front of Joe while he was doing his press conference.
No fooling.
Good for Joe.
good for Buck Roderick.
It's not a good thing. Dotum has been suspended, gentlemen.
Now his presence is being felt at the Super Bowl.
And so we're going to bring down the whole country with his vileness. We're going to celebrate vile.
Is there a video of Roderick sliding that
over? No, it was there. You can see the bumper sticker right in front of Joe as he's talking.
Oh, for heaven's sakes.
He is having fun getting behind the sets of other shows and getting pictures taken with his head back there.
That's his move? That's what Brooks Parrott used to do.
He texted me, was it Monday? All right, I'm getting ready to go behind the Cowherd set. Can you get a picture? I said, well, I'm nowhere near a TV.
He's supposed to be a media member, man.
Nice take.
He's not there as a fan.
Yes, you
Come
do.
On, Joe. Pull yourself up by the bootstraps.
You get a Super Bowl credential, and the goal is just to get the credential, and then you hang it in the rearview mirror. Let people know you're
I guess it would kind of be a fun thing to be a part of if you didn't have to worry about actually working.
No, he'll get a ton of interviews.
Welcome to Joe Roderick Broadcasting.
I hope.
A couple years ago, I lined up an interview with Aaron Paul for them, only for the fact that
Stop bragging.
No, it was for something for me. I said, I can get you Aaron Paul, but I have a good friend of mine who is a big fan. I'm going to give you a poster and just put it on the table. And when you're interviewing and when you're done, just say, Aaron, can you sign this? And I heard the interview. Great interview. Justin Boyd, who was there, said...
Jay Boyd said,
Higgs, you're going to kill us. We didn't have time to get the thing autographed. As soon as he got it from the table, he left. So, okay, no problem. But then I see him all posting pictures of Aaron Paul with them after the interview. I said, You had time to get pictures. You didn't have time to have him to sign it?
Maybe they forgot.
No, I'm sure they forgot.
Seems like they might not have had time. I mean, after the pictures.
Yeah, after the pictures, they all got their pictures taken. You didn't have time to... Can you scribble something on that while you're taking this picture?
Could you forge it?
No, I wouldn't do that to her. It's for a friend of mine.
Doug, what a great guest we have here for our audience on the Appliance Discounter phone lines. A legend, if you will. And a gentleman who has been with us recently as we talk the potential of the MLS coming to St. Louis. The application officially filed yesterday. How about that? Joining us right now, the legendary Tommy Smith. Hello, Tommy.
Hey, good morning, Tim, Jim, and Doug. How is everything going out there?
It is wonderful. How are things with you? Are you in New York City? Where are you?
I'm in New York City. A pretty cold New York City this morning.
Cold New York City this morning. We're excited in St. Louis because about a week ago it looked like we weren't going to see St. Louis move forward with the MLS application. And then yesterday it was submitted. And I know you think highly of St. Louis and its soccer heritage.
Yeah, it has a great tradition. I mean, over the years, when you talk to anybody about soccer in the United States, St. Louis always comes up. And, you know, there's been a lot of families that have been involved in the soccer for a long time in St. Louis. So I think it's appropriate that they have an application in. And I'm led to believe that because of the way the application was so swiftly announced, that maybe St. Louis probably were one of the better prepared applicants.
Wow.
Now, for folks that aren't familiar with MLS, well, I think we have a ton of soccer fans in St. Louis not necessarily familiar with MLS. How is that thought of in the international soccer community? Does it feel like that's something that's getting better as time goes by?
Yeah, I mean, it's become it's a case of, you know, you get what you put into it, and MLS has put a lot into it, and they've created a lot of good young American players. And the U.S. national team, you know, is to be feared on any given day. You know, nobody ever really wants to play them. If there's a competition on, they don't want to be drawn against them. It's not a team you'd be saying, well, I hope we get the U.S. because you know you're going to get your fill of it, that they're not going to let you away with anything easy. So, you know, bit by bit, you know, row by row, as they say, MLS soccer is gaining international acclaim.
Yeah, there's a lot of major cities who've also filed applications to try to get a team, like San Diego, Tampa, Phoenix, Detroit. You think St. Louis can beat out all those other cities? San Antonio, Cincinnati, Indianapolis? There's some big ones.
Yeah, there are some big ones. But, hey, the bigger the come, the harder the fall, to say in soccer, you know. So I would think that St. Louis would have a wonderful chance. You probably have to feel that San Diego might have a good chance now because there'd be a void there when the Chargers leave, go back to L.A., so they're talking about building a 30,000-seater stadium. And I think that's what you have to do to judge, to gauge how well MLS has come along. I mean, it started, 22 years ago with 10 teams. And now look at all the soccer-specific stadiums that you have teams playing in. And when these four expansion teams are added, there's going to be two added and then two more, it'll bring it up to 28. So they've increased... They have brought 18 more teams into the fold. So I think that's major achievement when you go, you're over 100% of where you started.
You see more and more soccer programming available on the sports channels in the United States. Soccer's always been popular as a sport for kids growing up. I just sense that there's a change with young sports fans, that they're more attracted to to soccer. Do you see that too?
Oh, yeah. There's absolutely no question about that. I mean, when I came here, I'm here now 50 years. Like 40 years ago or 30 years ago, if you were looking for soccer in the United States, you would have a tough time finding it on television. And now you have, NBC every weekend to do something that they don't even do in England, to show every game of the Premier League live over the weekend or whatever it's played. I mean, it's incredible. I mean, you could be sitting in any country in Europe and you can't get that kind of coverage. And then you go down the line and you have stations that cover La Liga. There's stations which is the Spanish League. You have Serie A, which is the Italian League. You have the Mexican League, which gets unbelievable coverage. And not just the coverage of the games, guys, which is very important. But we know that we're really what makes the sport is the coverage around it. All the lead up to the games and all talk after the game and all the breaking down of the games and how they went. Like yesterday there was a big game, Chelsea was playing Liverpool and it ended 1-1. But I mean the amount of coverage that game received, it was absolutely incredible.
Tell me, what do you think of the emergence of the Chinese Super League and the money they're spending on players and what it could do to the MLS in the near future?
Yeah, I suppose it has to be considered a threat, even though it's as far away as it is. And my feeling was that at the beginning that the Chinese Super League would not succeed. I'm starting to change that feeling now because it looks like it has become a political thing now in China. And the Chinese government are putting so much money into the Chinese Super League that for them to fail, it will be an embarrassment to the government. So I think they're just going to keep pumping money in. I mean, the money that they're playing, Tevez, who had gone back to, playing South America, he had his whole career in Europe. Tevez is getting paid £1 per second, which is £60 per hour, about $100 an hour or a minute. For playing in the Chinese Super League. That kind of shows you the kind of money. It's mind-boggling that there can be that kind of money. But I guess if you're the government and you're printing it yourself, hey, it's pretty easy to do.
You probably have to pay him big bucks. That'd be a major cultural change for most guys to leave Europe or South America or here to go play in China. They probably have to make it very appealing.
Yeah, they do, and you know they are making it appealing. I mean, they're offering contracts like where players are getting paid almost $500,000 a week. Guys.
That's appealing. Yeah,
it's very. It would appeal to me anyhow for 1 week.
Yeah. Maybe a couple at that rate. Maybe you could hold out for a month,
yeah,
2 months.
I mean, so you can take the smog and you can take your lungs getting filled up a little bit. You know, walk away with $2 million after 2 months.
Yeah, you'll probably live through it. And, the numbers are way down in the U.S. for kids playing football. You think that will funnel some of the top talent to soccer now, and will that help us ever get to the level of the other premier countries in the world who play soccer? Brazil and Germany and some of the others.
Well, you know, guys, it's something that has had a lot of discussion from me over the years, and that is that there is no sport in the world that the U.S. does not excel in any sport. And people say to me, "Yeah, but you know, that's not going to apply to soccer. Why isn't it going to apply to soccer?" That's always my question. I mean, okay, you look at the Tour de France, and okay, there has been a couple of scandals about it, but yet and all, do you ever see a bicycle race in your part of the country? I never see a bicycle race in my part of the country.
No.
But yet and all, when the Americans go to ride in Tour de France, they can hold their own. When the Olympics come around and you read the medal chart, who's always on the top of the medal chart? One way or another, the U.S. are very, very close to it. And, you know, how much track and field do you see as the year goes, or the 4 years go by between the Olympics? So there is no reason why that the U.S. does not have an elite team. I've kept saying it that when things change a little bit and the scouting system in the U.S. changes and the academy system changes where you bring in young players at a younger age, I have no doubt in my mind that the United States has the potential to be a world power in soccer. No question in my mind.
Tommy, I grew up in New York as a Cosmos fan. The old NASL, it seemed, at least in many markets, was doing very well for quite a stretch. And then it just went away. What lessons can be learned from the NASL that MLS can use moving forward?
Well, I think one of the things you have to steer clear of, and they're starting to steer a little bit clear of, is bringing these players in that have basically retired. Like, I think MLS, okay, Lampard was brought into New York. He was okay. Gerrard was brought into Los Angeles. That didn't work out. Robbie Keane was brought into Los Angeles. It did work out. So things like that you have to learn the lesson from, is that nowadays you can't fool a soccer fan in the United States, because they're so used to watching the good stuff on television. And what's even more defining of what's happening to soccer in the United States is all these kids are playing Xbox, and they want the Xbox, they want the players on the field to be as good as the guys that are playing Xbox. So you can't put out a second-rate team and hope that you're going to gain fans. You have to put out good teams. I think that's the lesson is, you know, and everybody blames the Cosmos for a kind of putting the league out of business when the NSL was there. I had a different view on that. I seen the Cosmos would fill their stadium every night. It was the rest of the league didn't have the capacity to have as big a crowds as the Cosmos did when they were playing them. That was one of the things that put them out. And the other thing was, as we talked about, players who were in their retirement. Okay, it was great that Pele was here, but look at, he was well past his prime. Beckenbauer, the same thing, the German. There was a whole lot of them that were past their prime. They were just names. You can't succeed nowadays bringing just names to the United States. You have to bring the player who can produce the goods and produce the goals and bring a good team. That's what you have to do. And you have to start scouting the inner cities. I mean, I would imagine that in New York City, if you couldn't come up with five or six good players, I don't know what's wrong. I mean, I passed a sign when I went into Brooklyn. It says Brooklyn, a city of 5.5 million people. That's as many people as there is in Ireland. And we have two teams, Southern Ireland or the Republic of Ireland and Northern Ireland, who compete in the World Cup. You mean to tell me Brooklyn couldn't come up with their own team? Don't give them the idea. They might try it. But you know what I'm saying about the size of the population.
Yeah, we could beat Ireland in basketball, though.
Yeah, probably.
Do you ever foresee a day when there might be some billionaire owner in the U.S. that could lure the Messis or Ronaldo or Wayne Rooney in their prime to come over here? Or is it so ingrained in the soccer world that you got to play in Europe to be in the big time?
No, it's not. Money is money. I mean, the Chinese league has proven it, that is money is money. I mean, the big competition in Europe is the Premier League, because they're paying unbelievable money too, and they have a fantastic product. They have a fantastic league. So you're competing against them. But there has been many suggestions made that, you know, there's going to be an extra round in the Premier League. I think they call it the 29th round or something like that. And the suggestions was to play it around the world. I mean, I could see a day where you have Premier League teams coming to play regular Premier League games in the United States. How much more difficult is the travel to fly from London to New York or to Boston or to any major U.S. city as it is to fly across Europe when you're playing in the Champions League? You're flying to Ukraine, you're flying all over the place. It's become, this is a world game. And there is no reason why the United States can't be part of that world.
It seems like that would go a long way to making the MLS one of the major sports leagues in this country, if they could get some of the premier personalities. Because generally it's the personalities that sell the sport, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, you look at a player like Ronaldo or Messi, as you mentioned, and you look at the kind of attention to get world news. I mean, look what David Beckham came when he did here. And, you know, at that stage, David was gone by his sell-by date. I mean, he had a year or two left in him. But he created unbelievable buzz, not just in, sports papers. You have to get off the back pages and get on the front pages if you're going to be successful. You have to be part of the culture of the country. You can't just be part of the sports culture. People have to, recognize who these players are and what to do. And their stories have to be told in the front end of the paper as well as the back end of the paper.
Well, we sure want a team here. You are saying that you're pretty confident that we'll get it if we can get the financing and get the stadium built?
Yeah, I think you will. I think you will. I just have a gut feeling. I don't have any no. I don't have any inside track or anything like that, so I'm not trying to lead you on. I just have a gut feeling, and the fact that you guys have been planning for so long to have it, I know it looked like you weren't even going to put the plans in, but the plans did go in, and that's what's the important thing. And I guess whatever way the plans stack up, that's going to be what's going to decide. But, you know, I would be fairly hopeful that St. Louis will get one.
Tommy, I know it's two different sports and a different fan base. Who is bigger in Ireland, Rory McIlroy or Conor McGregor?
I would say Conor McGregor. You know, Rory has done some things that are not really, you know, the Irish people, some of them look at him in a different manner because of his, you know, he wasn't going to play for Ireland in the Olympics. He was going to represent Britain, and some of the statements he's made. I mean, they're two great sportsmen. Conor McGregor has come along and he's just taken the whole thing by storm, you know. And that's the other thing that people don't understand about a little country like Ireland. I mean, we're talking about soccer here, and we're talking about soccer in Ireland. Soccer in Ireland is popular to a point, but soccer in Ireland is not the main sport in Ireland. Gaelic football and hurling are the main sports in Ireland, and they will outdraw soccer all the time. So you don't necessarily have to have a good league. In fact, the league in Ireland is semi-professional. The soccer league and the team I support, Dundalk, has won it 3 years in a row, but it's semi-professional. So, you know, there's proof that you don't need a great league to have a great international team. So there's so many things going on for the U.S. here. But to answer your direct question, I would say Conor McGregor would definitely outpole Rory McIlroy.
How about that?
Is Gaelic football rugby? Is that what we call rugby?
No.
What
Gaelic
is it?
Football
dog.
Is a game played with a ball, the same as soccer. And there are 15 men on a side. And hurling is the game played with a stick and a small ball in your hand. It's the fastest game in the world. And when the Ireland finals are played in September, there's a great stadium in Dublin, Croke Park, which is owned by the Gaelic Athletic Association. It holds 82,000, and you couldn't get a ticket even if you knew the Pope. And keep in mind, these guys are all amateurs. They play for the love of wearing the jersey of their county in Ireland. They don't get paid absolutely no money. They are superbly fit, and they are fantastic athletes.
Huh, and that's bigger than soccer.
We need to use that for a promo, by the way, for the Battle on Broadway. You can't get a ticket if you're the Pope. Hey, Tommy, after 25 years, you left ESPN. You're still doing your SiriusXM show, of course. But what was that like to say farewell after a great run at ESPN?
Yeah, it's once you move on in life from anything, you know, if you're married for 25 years and you get divorced, it becomes a traumatic thing. If you're in a job for 25 years, you go from there, it's traumatic. I mean, when I look back over what I achieved at ESPN, and when I read Twitter, I had 3,500 tweets the other day on Twitter when it was announced I was leaving. It made me feel that I was part of what grew soccer in the United States. A very, very small part, but nevertheless, the Champions League was one of the things that really caught people's imagination. So, you know, I realized that it was a run that not too many sportscasters have. It was a run that not too many players of my caliber will ever achieve. And, you know, I was very thankful to ESPN for all they did for me. I got to speak, and I got to be involved with some of the greatest players in the world. I got to interview the David Beckhams and the Ronaldos all over the place. And, you know, I also have to keep in mind that not alone am I doing the Sirius show, which I do with a very famous soccer player, Rodney Marsh. We do it 9 to 11 on Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday. But I'm also going to be the analyst with JP Della Camera for the Union team in Philadelphia of MLS. So I'm still going to be fairly busy, guys.
The name of the show that you're doing, by the way, is it Grumpy Pundits?
Grumpy Pundits.
Doug, how great of a name is that?
I love that.
Grumpy Pundits.
And I tell you one thing, it's appropriately named because neither of us are morning people, and it does get very grumpy at times.
I can't imagine you being grumpy. You have such an upbeat approach. I mean, you're a great guest.
Turn me the wrong way, rattle my cage, and you'd find out very
Doug
quickly
Rattle's how cage.
Tommy, great to have you on the show. We always enjoy when you're on the program. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much, Tim, Jim, and Doug. Take care of yourselves and have a good one.
Thank you, Tommy.
You too.
There he is. We'll play that after our final show, which, of course, is this Friday. Doug, Tommy Smith was the name of the program, Grumpy Pundits, and I'd like to rename this the Ryan Kelly Grumpy Pundits.
If we had thought of it, we would have used that long ago.
Boy, he's got such a great way about him. I mean, just hearing him talk is fun, and then he knows stuff.
Yeah, he knows some stuff. Yeah, I would say.
Can you imagine it comes to an end at a major network, a great run, and you're just so upbeat about it? I mean, I get it, mm-hmm. but the way he talks about it is, I think, a roadmap for when they end this show.
Well, he got to spend his working career and still working, doing the thing that he loves.
Yeah, and they have a team in the MLS in Philly. He'll be doing that.
If I know the sea monster, he heard the you can't get a ticket if you're the Pope. He immediately thought, I'm going to do a new promo for the Battle on Broadway. If I know the sea monster.
Did you guys know what Gaelic football was?
No, but we stepped away from the microphone so as not to offend the guests.
Soccer with 15 people? That's just what you need is more people on the field.
That's 30 guys.
And
on
hurling,
a pitch.
I thought that was like the on the ice where you.
No, that's
push.
Curling. Hurling, you take a stick and you.
Well, they should rename it so it's not confusing.
Well, it's not confusing to very many people.
The curling is when and then there's guys wiping the ice away, yes. and they're standing in front.
That seems silly.
And that's
silly.
An Olympic sport.
Yeah, get a broom.
This is the greatest interview ever. I love this guy. It's from Bob in South City. Guys, what's Tommy's thoughts on scarves? That's from Marty's steel-toed boots.
Ooh. I didn't want to bring that up because I'm anti-scarf.
Green bleach. Lots of it. That's from the Arnold Water Tower.
How could you not like him? How could you possibly not like
Tommy
him?
Smith's awesome. Good stuff, guys. That's I assume that's a Sea Monster production. Is that a Sea Monster? Again?
Yeah, hello, it wasn't CZ. A porn star, so it's
Sea Monster. Although Sea Monster was responsible for Mia Khalifa, wasn't he? So he'll get you, Doug. He's sneaky vile.
He is. He's sneaky vile at times.
Well, I've never seen Sea Monster as upset as he was at the start of the show today. I just stepped away. Holy crap.
Because
and then he was pissed about things that I guess he inherited from overnight, and then that makes me want to take care of my boy. And find out what the hell happened.
Well, you know what Doug and I do? We always go, I would talk to Tim. Tim's responsible.
Yeah. So it wasn't us.
I was in here last night at 11 working on some overnight production.
We try to put a wedge in there. When you see Sea Monsters not in a good mood, you do step away.
Yes, you do.
He's never in a bad mood.
That's right. Doug, he's just as smooth as a mountain stream, as pure as the beer he calls his own.
Bush. As a worker, he's like Tommy Smith's accent. He's just upbeat and like top of the morning to you, Sea Monster. Top of the morning, sir. See, he's okay.
Guys, I thought Tommy Smith lived next door to Marcus and O'Fallon. Thanks. It's from PGA Pro Dan.
He might. He's still got that thick accent, and he's lived in the United States
since the 60s.
Years and years. Yeah.
Man, you try to keep that thing. That thing is gold.
Yeah, it is. It's like a South City dialect if you move to California.
It's interesting how we've changed the language that much.
What do you mean?
That people that came over here with that dialect, that way of speaking, that we've changed it so drastically.
Janie the Lesbian sounds like Frances McDormand in Fargo now, and she's only been there for like 4 months.
I had a friend who moved to Mobile, Alabama after college to be a policeman, and he came back 2 years later with such a thick dialect, we thought he was kidding. He spoke like he'd been in Alabama for 50 years.
I still have a New York twang, I'm told.
I don't hear much of that.
Your thoughts on what Tommy Smith had to say. Are you really told that?
Yeah. Every once in a while, someone say, you're from New York? And I'm like, yeah, years ago. I'm a Midwest guy. I'm neutral.
Yeah, I would never hear that. As I've said before, apparently I had what I thought was a neutral, as you said, dialect. And, Doug, what is it, the J school, you call it?
I never do. I call it journalism school.
The journalism school.
Call it anything.
Where Gabe DeArmond and I were the only two people from the state of Missouri in the broadcasting sequence. And we were doing something, and I said, Chicago. And one of the lasses in the class goes, oh, you're from St. Louis. And I go, what? And she said, you're from St. Louis. And I said, what? And she said, because you said Chicago.
Instead St. Louis of people Chicago.
Say, right. St. Louis people say it nasally.
They say, here, say it.
Yeah. Well, now I've corrected it since then. Doug, that was 90. Was that 96?
I just have no idea.
The Cardinals were up 3-1 on the Braves and Eckersley did the fist pump thing.
Well,
the same
that was
day.
96.
Yeah. Chicago. Is that how you say it?
Yeah.
That's
Chicago.
How we say it here, but a lot of them up there say Chicago.
Right there. But St. Louisans apparently say Chicago.
Yeah.
Who knew?
I didn't.
Some of the old timers used to say Miami, Florida.
I like that.
And it is Miami, Oklahoma, even though it's spelled with an I at the end.
That
of the
doesn't
word.
Count, though.
Right.
The old timers say, we live from Miami. What do you mean Miami? That's like saying Missouri.
Yeah, but if you were
there's an I at the end
if
of
you
it.
Weren't broadcasting in Miami, you wouldn't have had those great experiences with all the big stars you had in Miami.
That's true.
So it doesn't count.
Yeah.
I think the Irish accent sounds cool on a man, on a woman. It just, yeah.
Who do you, outside of Dolores O'Riordan, how often have you talked with an Irish lass?
Paula Magnuson.
Paula Poundstone, Doug, would wear that tie, and she would wear a suit and a lot of kids.
Who? Jeans.
Who was the singer that was bald and
Dolores O'Riordan. Oh, Sinead O'Connor.
Yeah. Sinead O'Connor's. Yeah, for a woman, though, it's not sexy. For a guy, it's cool. An Irish accent. Same with French, the opposite way.
David Faherty.
A woman with a French accent is sexy. Guy.
You think he might be fourth?
Kind of gay.
They say he's even popular in Europe.
That time where we went to Ireland where we met Mick McCarthy back in the
well,
day.
This was you.
Yeah. I say we, the family.
Ah.
And we were walking to a restaurant, and it was farther than we thought, so we're walking and walking. I was like, we're almost there. And my wife is like, no, we're going to get a cab. I'm tired of walking. So we get in the cab, and I just remember the way the driver said it. He seemed incredulous that we wanted this address. So we get in the car, and he drove about 100 yards. And then he said in an Irish accent, you've arrived.
He sharp shot you.
What'd you owe him for that drive?
I don't recall. But it was in Irish money, so that's...
Oh, what a tangled web we weave.
I think it was pesos.
I could see where they would be upset with Rory McIlroy for wanting to represent Britain if he grew up in Ireland.
Yeah, especially Britain. Especially
well,
Britain.
I wonder why he did that.
That's gonna. Well, isn't he from the north?
I don't know. This guy, Tim, yeah, is going to get
he's,
all
he's
worked
northern,
up
yeah.
Oh, so you guys just want to rule your land.
Yeah.
You just want to rule your land.
Yeah. Mickelson trying to light up the crowd again. Birdie to win the hole.
Come on.
That's at the Ryder Cup.
Let the man
That's
putt.
At the Ryder that
is
Cup.
Bad that him. Is the most unbelievable clip I've heard.
Wow, Kat, look at me. I travel internationally. It's from
yeah,
the
like 12
four.
Years ago.
Humble brag.
12 there years ago.
You have any experiences in Bora Bora?
Oh, I wouldn't mind.
No,
I see the picture.
That was
those
my only
jaunt
outside of Mexico or Canada ever overseas. And yeah. I don't go to Mexico anymore because I don't want to get the... shot.
Yeah, you got to go to one of those all-inclusives and never leave
no,
the compound.
And that's what we used
that's
to do.
That's what I did.
Never
what, leave.
That's what we used to do, but now I read that even there's incursions into the all-inclusive places. Oh, really? Yeah.
Hey, Doug, Victor. I met Tommy at a urinal, and I can confirm he has a huge trouser horn.
Now, why would you text that in to us?
Well, he said he's confirming it.
He's breaking news.
We wonder about it.
It's a show of record, Doug.
Doug, a New York accent on a woman is ugly. Thanks. That's from the 636.
It's kind of hard sounding. It sounds like you're going to be tough
can
guy.
Can you name a lass with a New York accent?
A heavy New York accent? You'd have
Rosie
to go
O'Donnell?
To, you'd have to go to the one, is it Snooki from...
That's Jersey. You know.
Wasn't that kind of East Coast?
Yeah, but it's different than New York.
Doug, give me a New York accent.
I'm not a good.
Oh,
New York
give it a
accent,
shot. No.
Is there any female that you think? I mean, Rosie O'Donnell's who I think of for this particular situation. Not often.
Calipari, Izzo, and if Pacino was in here, we're talking Italian special. We're talking rigatoni, marinara.
What about from politics? Debbie Wasserman Schultz. Doesn't
she's
she have
from Florida?
Florida?
She's from Florida.
Isn't she from New York?
Well,
maybe I'm confusing her because every once in a while with a politician. You hear an accent that tells you where they're from geographically.
Now, if you get down there around Hell's Kitchen, places like that where it's really, really almost like gangster New York, you hear those girls talk down
Hell's
there.
Hell's Kitchen's kind of hipster now. That's where I booze.
Yeah, used to be. Or it is now.
Like,
oh,
I'm
to
in
be
hipster
like,
land here.
Used to be you never wanted
Doug,
to go
the place
there.
I go in Hell's Kitchen, if you're there, the Snug.
Mm. Wherever you go, Tim, it becomes hipster land.
I don't. You can't be 40 and hipster, can you? I mean, I guess
well, most people
like...
couldn't, but you can, Tim.
Maybe Plowsy can Google Brooklyn female celebrities and see if we can find one.
Mets have nothing to hold their heads down for, except they didn't play that well, and they gave away this World Series.
That's just a random drop there involving
New York. Plowboy has just found the drops this morning, and he's letting his freak flag fly, and I love it. I support it. I've heard Jiminy Glick three times.
And no, I cannot be your, you cannot be my human toilet.
That's an Alton accent there.
Yeah, well, it said he Someone can't said be a human
Fran,
toilet.
Fran Drescher?
That's a nice play. Yeah, that's very aggressive.
Hurt. Yeah.
But that's if you talk to her outside of her doing her act with her whiny, nasally voice, she kind of, you can't really tell it's New York. It just sounds kind of.
Leah, how do you pronounce her last name? The Scientology woman who hates Scientology now?
Yeah, she does.
Leah Remini?
Remini, is that how you say it?
That's who, that's the woman that has all these shows now.
Doug, what about Connie Corleone? It's from the 314. Talia Shire.
Well, a little bit in the Godfather movie, of course. There, we can check that off.
About if you're playing TMA today. Bingo, check it off at 7:58. Hey, we got a break. Kelly Chase with us at 8:30. And your emails, new month, Bill Pullman's Independence Day speech. What a comeback. This is fun to see somebody come back like that. Hey, Matt O'Bulls and Angs had a great first half of the month, but there's Bill Pullman.
Yesterday's email was lacking, though. It was, comparatively.
Right. Well, the pressure was on. Is that pressure going to be similar to what we see Sunday in Houston for Matt Ryan? Here's a guy who hasn't succeeded much in the postseason historically. A couple of great Sundays in January 2017. Can he finish the job against a motivated New England Patriots team? I'll tell you why the left guard of the Atlanta Falcons might be the most important player on the field Sunday in Houston coming up.
I'm going to stay tuned.
This is Ryan Kelly, Morning After.